Listen local. Live from the WJFF studios in Liberty, New York, this is Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. On today's show, local reaction to President Biden's decision to step aside and endorse Vice President Kamala Harris as his replacement. We'll hear from the chairs of the Sullivan County Democratic and Republican committees, and from the state chairs as well. How did business leaders react to the news of President Biden dropping out of the race? James B. Huntington is here with local economic perspective on Work Shift Live. Plus, the first annual Paddle for Pride down the Delaware River. And culture reporter Valerie Manzi checks in with Roxbury Arts. All that's coming up. But first, the news from NPR.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. A number of congressional Democrats are putting their support behind Vice President Harris's new bid for the presidency. NPR's Claudia Grisales reports Harris was earning endorsements moments after President Biden said he would leave the race.
Congress returns today, which means lawmakers will be quickly sorting through next steps to find a new Democratic nominee for president. Top Democrats who raise concerns about Biden staying in the race say Harris is the logical answer. Among them, Maryland Democrat Jamie Raskin told NPR that Harris, who made her career as a prosecutor, can, quote, prosecute the case for Democrats against Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump. California Democrat Zoe Lofgren said Harris would be an exciting nominee, but a quick assessment is needed to reach that conclusion, as ultimately delegates to the Democratic Convention will make that call. Claudia Grisales, NPR News.
Harris has been moving quickly to build more support. She has said that she will work to earn and win the Democratic nomination. In the hours after Biden endorsed her, she's already raised more than $50 million in grassroots donations. NPR has learned that Harris spent more than 10 hours working the phones yesterday, calling more than 100 party leaders, union officials, and others. As Harris continues to win support, no clear opponent has yet emerged to challenge her. West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin has been asked about it. Manchin only left the Democratic Party in May to become an independent, but Manchin says he won't run for higher office.
No, I'm not intending to run for any political office, and I made that very clear. I'm retiring, but I'm going to be involved, and I like to have a voice, and I think I speak for the majority of Americans who are in the middle, like me. 51% of us are registered to participate and vote, but we're independents.
He spoke to CNN. The director of the Secret Service is set to testify on Capitol Hill this morning. NPR's Windsor Johnston reports lawmakers are demanding answers following the attempted assassination of former President Donald Trump.
Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle will go before the Republican-led House Oversight Committee. The panel's chairman, James Comer, says lawmakers plan to question Cheadle about what he calls historic security failures at the rally that day. That includes how a gunman was able to get onto a roof with a clear line of sight of the former president. Over the weekend, the Secret Service acknowledged that it denied some requests by Trump's election team for more security at his campaign events. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
On Wall Street, stocks are mixed. The Dow is down about 25 points. The Nasdaq is up more than 1%. This is NPR. The Gaza Health Ministry says the Palestinian death toll in the Israel-Hamas war is a little more than 39,000 people. The number does not distinguish between civilian and militant casualties. Separately, the Israeli government has confirmed the deaths of two hostages in Gaza. It says they were killed months ago in Hamas captivity. They were among the 240 people abducted from Israel in the attack on October 7th. China's central bank cut a key interest rate today. It's an attempt to strengthen the world's second biggest economy. The move comes on the heels of a key policy meeting, and as NPR's John Ruich reports, It follows weaker than expected Chinese GDP data.
The People's Bank of China cut the 7-day reverse repurchase rate by 10 basis points. That's the rate the bank uses to manage liquidity in the economy and a key rate for policy signaling. The move was the first major cut in months and took markets by surprise. The PBOC said in a statement the cut is aimed at boosting support for the real economy. That economy has been sluggish in the year and a half since the government dropped COVID controls. Last week, the authorities reported weaker than expected GDP growth in the second quarter. Also last week, senior officials from the ruling Communist Party met in Beijing, where they discussed the challenges facing the economy, but did not unveil fresh measures to stimulate it. John Ruich, NPR News, Shanghai.
The 2024 Summer Olympic Games open this Friday in Paris, and this time the opening ceremony won't be in a stadium. Instead, Olympic athletes will fill dozens of boats and float down the famed Seine River. Spectators will watch from the riverbanks. I'm Korva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from Amazon Business. From small business to big enterprise and everything in between, Amazon Business works to help simplify the supplies buying process. Learn more about smart business buying at AmazonBusiness.com. This is NPR.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. Both New York Republicans and Democrats reacted with confidence about their chances in November after President Joe Biden's decision Sunday to leave the race. From the New York Public News Network, WAMC's Ian Pickus reports.
Biden's announcement came after weeks of pressure from fellow Democrats who were alarmed by his first debate performance and subsequent polling and fundraising troubles. Biden endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris to succeed him, but it's not immediately clear what the nomination process will look like ahead of next month's convention in Chicago. Jay Jacobs, chair of the New York State Democratic Party, says Biden put the nation and the party ahead of his own interests.
I'm asking all of our delegates, all of our county chairs, all of our elected officials to just take the next few days. We're going to talk as a delegation and try to come together.
Jacobs says Democrats will be united in their efforts to defeat former President Donald Trump. But State Republican Party Chair Ed Cox says Trump remains on track to win back the White House.
She is as responsible for the position of her party at this point and changing horses, whether to Vice President Harris or to anyone else, is not going to change the fact that that former President Donald Trump is on his way to a landslide victory.
The election is just over 100 days away. In Albany, this is Ian Pickus for the New York Public News Network.
Joining us now is the chair of the Sullivan County Democratic Committee and a Biden delegate, Ann Hart. Ann, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. What is your reaction to President Biden dropping out of the race?
Joe Biden is a true American hero. He is a statesman. I know it was a difficult decision for him, but he really put what's best for the country ahead of his own ambition and agenda. And I thank him for a lifetime of service. We often don't see public servants like Joe Biden, and he really has shown us what public service means and should be, and every person in office should take heed, take note, and follow his example.
He immediately endorsed Kamala Harris to replace him. Do you back her?
I think she'll be a great candidate. I think she'll be a great president. Our delegation, I believe, will be meeting very shortly to talk about coalescing around her, I'm assuming, because the governor and the state chair has already endorsed her. I feel that we will, and I feel that she, as vice president, is the right person for the job. She's been involved in the administration all the way going through, and she's been a real voice for women, for minorities, and for everyone. And I think we're in good hands with her.
Let's talk about that process. You are a delegate for President Biden, but things have changed now. How does that work process-wise?
I'm not sure, considering that this is very unprecedented. It's never happened before, and I haven't looked at the Rules Committee meeting that was broadcast the other day. I haven't had a chance. I've been working, but I'm sure that there will be a process that will follow not only our own party rules, but any other legal rules that apply to this process. I'm not sure what it is, but I know that it will go forward and we will emerge united and enthused for our candidates.
There was a lot of hand-wringing after the debate over the last 3 weeks amongst Democrats. Now that the president has endorsed Kamala Harris to replace him, there's a reporting that $50 million in donations, grassroots donations, just coming in the last 24 hours, I think, is the single biggest day in donations for Democrats. Does that show to you that there's enthusiasm there for Vice President Kamala Harris?
It absolutely shows enthusiasm, and it shows, you know, an energy. It shows that people have just since the debate probably been waiting and watching and wondering what will happen. But at the end of the day, there's a clear choice here, and that choice cannot be Donald Trump returning to the White House and working against all of the freedoms that so many people have worked for so many years to protect. So the choice is clear. A friend just shared an map that ActBlue put out that showed where the small donations are coming from and that have been coming from. And you'd be surprised at some of the states, including Florida, where this money is pouring in to support Democrats all across the nation. It's an interesting little sort of picture of where these small donations are coming from.
How do you think this changes the race locally and statewide as well?
I think that our candidates, our congressional candidate, is staying the course. He's got his positions on things. We support them, and he will continue to campaign outside of that. Josh Riley, sorry. And he, you know, he will move forward with the strong campaign that he has. His positions on the issues don't change, and you know, we'll continue to support him. I think the same goes for Michelle Frazier for state senate and Paula Kaye for assembly. Their campaigns are focused on the needs of the people in the 51st Senate District and the 101st Assembly District, and they will continue to press their case about why they're the best candidates to serve us in Albany.
You heard the state GOP chair tying Vice President Harris to the Biden policies. Nationally, the Trump campaigns have been doing that as well. Representative Mark Molinaro, who's up for re-election, and Josh Riley is opposing him in the 19th, has also been saying that. So do you think that she's able to overcome that, painting of being the same types of policies, that same line of attack?
The record of the Biden-Harris administration has been remarkable, from bringing us out of COVID, steering us through the uncertainty of the economic disaster that COVID brought, and through Infrastructure Act for lowering prices for prescription drugs, lowering the insulin price. It's a really excellent record to run on. This past administration, this current administration, has done nothing but good for the people of America and the people of New York State. The CHIPS and Science Act has brought jobs to New York State. We've got infrastructure projects that we never had under the Trump administration. It's not a bad record to run on, frankly. It's one that everyone should be proud of. Democrats have delivered for the people.
Do you have any concerns about the time frame here? It's, 106 days, 105 days till the general. Are you concerned about any of that?
We'll pull it together. We'll pull it together. I think that the American people are starved for positive results. They're tired of hate. They're tired of negativity. And they want progress for everybody. So I'm confident that we can do the job. It might be a little harder than we would have liked, but that's okay. We're used to that.
Before I let you go, I just is your head spinning?
Yeah, it has been. But I'll just say this. Ever since I became chair, the political landscape has been topsy-turvy ever since, from, you know, moving congressional lines 2 years ago to this year. You know, it's been a PhD in chaos, and this is just one more class toward that PhD in chaos. But we prevail. We pivot. We're strong. We'll prevail.
Ann Hart is chair of the Sullivan County Democratic Committee and also a delegate for President Biden for now. And she's joining us now live. Thank you so much. We'll be in touch as we go through this topsy-turvy election.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
We'll take a quick break and we'll get response from Greg Goldstein, chair of the Sullivan County Republican Committee. After the break, this is Radio Chatsko.
Last year, over 100,000 people died from drug overdoses driven by fentanyl. And the fastest growing group is under 19. Fentanyl is the number one cause of overdose in Sullivan County. Whether you're a parent or an educator, you can have the right conversation now to potentially save a kid's life. Protect kids from the dangers of fentanyl. More information and resources at naturalhigh.org. Paid for by Catholic Charities of Orange, Sullivan, and Ulster.
I'm Matt Hurtado. Join me on a journey where pixels meet melodies and controllers become conductors. This is Virtual Soundscapes, the show that transports you to the sonic realms of video game magic. In this journey, we'll uncover the hidden treasures of video game soundtracks from the classics to modern day and speak with industry veterans. Join me every Thursday night at 10 p.m. only on Radio Catskill. Listen local.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. Joining us live with more reaction to President Biden stepping aside is the chair of the Sullivan County Republican Committee, Greg Goldstein. Greg, good morning.
Good morning.
I think we're catching you before you have another appointment. So what's your reaction to President Biden dropping out of the race?
Well, I think he did the right thing for himself and for the country. Obviously, after the last debate, he showed that he didn't have the spark that he's had over the years. And I think that's he did the right thing as far as his own well-being also and for the country.
He immediately endorsed Kamala Harris as the potential replacement for him. What is your reaction to that?
My reaction is that continues the same, not the best policies as far as she's the border czar, has not been to the border. We've had millions of illegal immigrants come into our country. Inflation is high. People are having a hard time affording to buy groceries. So I don't think this makes a big difference as far as what we're going to be seeing if she would be the successful candidate for president.
How does this change the race locally and statewide?
I don't think it affects anything locally or statewide at all. As far as I think the state, we have issues. Obviously, we have an issue that the governor is closing our prison in Woodburn without any notification. A lot of jobs, a lot of money that comes in the county because of that prison. So I don't think, in my opinion, it's going to be a good year for the Democrats statewide or on the national level.
Republicans wrapped up a seemingly successful convention showing some unity last week. Now it seems as if this announcement yesterday and Vice President Kamala Harris being the potential replacement for President Biden has created some enthusiasm on the Democratic side, raising about $50 million over the last 24 hours. Do you see the enthusiasm gap closing a little bit for Democrats here?
Well, I think the enthusiasm is a lot better than it has been. Obviously, the Republicans had a very successful convention, first time in a while. It was great. So I think that raising that money is, you know, that doesn't surprise me. That money was not going to flow as long as Biden stayed the candidate. So it was pressured by a lot of people to give it up. And I think it's going to be a fun next 3 months.
Fun is a way of putting it. Do you think Donald Trump is beatable?
Of course he is. Anybody's beatable. I just think that if they have a debate, he'll show his strengths. I think he's sort of humble now after this assassination attempt. And I think that he will be the successful candidate. Like I said, it's going to be a joyful next 3 months.
Why do you call it joyful?
Well, I'm just saying there's going to be a lot of stuff thrown, a lot of stuff said on both sides. And I just think it's going to be, the Democrats want to hold the White House. Republicans want to gain it back. I think the Senate and the Congress could go red, could go to the Republicans. So you can't change what's happened over the past 3.5 years as far as energy. There's a lot of things that have to come back home and start back here in the United States.
It sounds like you might be enthusiastic about it. It does change the calculus a little bit. The Trump campaign, has always thought that Biden would be the candidate. Now it's switched a bit. It's still the vice president with that administration. But do you think that we can all move forward civilly as we go through this? It's been chaotic so far.
I hope so. I think it's so important that we have fruitful talks about what the issues are. I'm hoping that in our assembly race in Sullivan County, that'll be the same thing, and I believe it will. I really think it can, if both sides want to do it that way. But unfortunately, with social media and things being thrown out, it's very, very difficult to do that now.
That's Greg Goldstein. He's the chair of the Sullivan County Republican Committee. Greg, thanks for joining us this morning, and okay. I'm sure we'll be in touch as we go through all the fun.
I look forward to it, and thanks for thinking of me.
Thank you, Greg. All right, we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll get local economic perspective, including how some business leaders reacted to President Biden stepping aside. That's with James B. Huntington and WorkShift Live next.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from Farm Arts Collective, located on Willow Wisp Organic Farm in Damascus, Pennsylvania. Farm Arts Collective's programs intersect the practices of farming, performance, food, and ecology. FarmArtsCollective.org. From the Community Foundation of Orange and Sullivan, a publicly supported philanthropic institution, CFOSNY.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
In this country, more than 2 local newspapers are closing down each week. This leaves most counties with little or no access to local news and information, and even more are at risk of losing their last local news source. As news deserts grow, public radio is a lifeline for staying informed. Keep that service strong with a donation to this station.
Support the news and information you rely on. Donate now at WJFFradio.org.
You're listening to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and it's Monday, so we check in with James B. Huntington, local author and economist, for some local economic perspective. And joining us now, James B. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, listeners.
Well, James B., busy 24 hours here, less than 24 hours, I think. How did business leaders react to President Joe Biden dropping out of the race?
Well, there's a lot of different views that have come out. We have Elon Musk, who says he will continue to support the Republican ticket. Didn't have a lot of comments on it otherwise, except for hawking the Republican side. Reid Hoffman, who's the LinkedIn co-founder, who's a billionaire, said that Biden's withdrawal was one of the most selfless acts he'd seen. He endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and otherwise didn't have much reviews there. Bill Ackman, a billionaire hedge fund manager who recently endorsed Trump, but he made various comments on what would happen, what should happen, really, from the point of view of the Democrats. Reed Hastings, also a billionaire and Netflix co-founder, he called for Biden to withdraw publicly some time ago and said that Democrat delegates should pick a swing state winner as their next presidential candidate. Then there is Mark Cuban, who is an entrepreneur who was described here as a staunch critic of former President Trump. He said he thought that the Democrats certainly should have replaced Biden in some form, and said that he looked weak. Otherwise, not much there. Andrew Yang, who was a Democratic presidential candidate, also an entrepreneur, who says that Biden showed remarkable leadership and says that the Democratic National Committee now has to equal that by having an open process to determine the best candidate, not just coronate the vice president or anybody else.
Do we have any?
So,
yeah, I was going to say,
do we have
investors' reaction yet to this announcement?
Yes, we do. We have a whole piece here that came out. We have David Wagner, a portfolio manager at Aptus Capital, who said there might be a bit of reversal in what has happened in the markets, that other stocks may go up significantly. Then we have Guy Liebass, the chief fixed income strategist of Janney Montgomery Scott. He said that it was unclear what would happen. It could go either way. Ellis Pfeiffer, a marketing strategist with Raymond James, said he thought the bond market would probably go down today. Art Hogan, chief market strategist with B. Riley Wealth, said his gut tells him this is not really much of a surprise for markets. Everything has been, this was prohibitively probable before it happened, and it was all baked into the cake of what's happened with prices so far. Quincy Crosby, chief global strategist of LPL Financial, said much the same. It was expected, an issue of not if, but when. And yes, the market is going to navigate through this. Oh, we're a little vague. Mark Ostwald, chief economist and global strategist from ADM Investor Services in London, asks us to pay more attention to how it changes the outlook for the congressional vote. Will the Democrat who ends up replacing Biden, have longer or shorter coattails than he will? So that's going to matter the most, and it's going to matter a great deal when that begins to size up and people get projections on that. Bill Strizzullo, the Strief market strategist at Bell Curve Trading, said it's a very good thing, positive for the markets and all, that he wants the candidate to do well and win over Trump because he's pessimistic of what would happen with a second Trump term to the markets. James Katulis, CEO at hedge fund Typhon Capital Management, says more volatility. Michael Brown, senior market analyst at Pepperstone in London, says people are going to be thinking about the election a heck of a lot earlier than we've seen in prior political circles. It's going to be, of course, it's over 3 months from now, but people may be acting like it's 1 month away. Mm. Gennady Goldberg, interest rate strategist, TD Securities, says the next few hours are going to determine how the market opens. Well, I have something for you on that. The Dow and NASDAQ are both substantially up in the first half hour or so of trading. My data is from 10:05. Yep. Then we have another one saying markets hating uncertainty, a tremendous amount of uncertainty, and one suggests that small caps, financials, energy, and crypto could all be hurt by this development. Then we have another portfolio manager saying it's going to be at least temporarily positive for markets. Well, it looks so good so far, although a day, a trading day, is a long time. Then more for volatility, two more mentioning volatility, and one saying that it's going to make tailwinds stronger for gold, a commodity specialist, that gold could well go up. So there are a bunch of viewpoints, so we'll see what actually happens.
Yeah, it looks like, as you said, the U.S. markets are up, and European stocks saw an uptick as well. How does this withdrawal affect the Democrats' economic platform?
Well, the short answer is not very much, because Harris, who is now something like over 80% on the prediction markets to be the next presidential nominee, has been a staunch advocate for the administration's economic policies, even though she is regarded as being to the left of Biden, probably for continuity and such. She's just going to say, continue doing them, at least for now. She'll be in favor of that. And it's not going to look, even if she were to win, it would not be easily predictable what she would do, and probably she would not do a lot very quickly. So,
pretty much the similar economic.
She's generally happy with the things, although right. She did have bills and did have ideas that would give more money to people in lower income classes, or let them keep more money, or what have you. Now, the key person here, they're probably the biggest name you might not have ever heard of, Jaime Harrison, who's the chair of the Democratic National Committee. They're the ones who are going to decide, really, how the nominee will be chosen. He says they will undertake a transparent and orderly process, of course, but he also signaled that much of the party's focus will be unchanged. So from here, it looks maybe more like more of same than we might have thought before.
All right. We're running out of time here a little bit, because we've been getting some local reaction from our local Republican and Democratic committee chairs. But you have a story here that I think it's too good to pass up. News you can't use, $1,000 plus sneakers.
Hey, I didn't even know there were such things until I read this story again. This was in the Wall Street Journal weekend section, and I'm seeing the next status sneakers. There's one of their reporters went to a place on an area of Madison Avenue on the Upper East Side, which he described as the snootiest stretch. He went into about 15 luxury stores and asked about their most expensive sneakers, and he came up with some recommendations. Well, generally, though, I mean, he was saying, you know, they're smoother, they're better, they have materials like calf leather and deer skin. Often they slip on. It's interesting, even though they have laces, apparently they're designed so you can just put them on your foot without doing anything to the laces. So if you're looking for something here, the standouts from our hunt, I know you're all going to run out and buy these. But yeah, the Loro Piana deerskin for $11.25, the Hermes goatskin for $11.25, the Tom Ford James sneaker $9.90, the low brushed suede flow runner. Do people in this income bracket run in these things? $890. And Berluti cashmere shadow knit sneaker tops the list at $1,315.
Oh my goodness.
Plus tax.
That's crazy.
So there you are. Now I know that I've helped you out today, no matter what I said in the other pieces.
Let's talk about, we talked about briefly what's going on with the stock market, but let's talk about the other numbers. What can you tell us?
Okay, these were early this morning. These were about soon after 5 a.m. to give you some, they have probably changed, certainly they have changed in some way, but as of then, this gives you a week-to-week report ending at that time anyway. Gold, $2,401 per ounce, down $9. Neutral result. It's way below last week's gain. It gained a lot more last week. Silver, $29.05, down $1.62. The ratio is over 82-1. It's the way it goes. Look for it to bounce back. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was 40,288, gained 287 on the week, but it almost hit 41,000 in the middle of last week and then fell back. NASDAQ, 17,727, dropped 671 on the week. There's some getting to be formal recommendations by heavyweight investment advisors that people sell their AI stock, and the NASDAQ in general did not like that at all. So we'll see. It is up today, not nearly 671, so we'll see. Oil, West Texas Intermediate, $80.40, down $1.92. Yay! Now, gasoline sales, incidentally, have been hurt this year by unusually hot weather in the U.S. and elsewhere. That has been cutting down people going on long driving trips. I don't know quite why that is, but that's what I see, and normally it would be at least holding steady this time of year. Bitcoin, $67,080, up a hair short of $4,000. Back up it goes, up and down, up and down. Pound, $1.2918, down 77 hundredths of a cent. It gave up almost half of last week's gain. The euro, 1.0894, lost 18 hundredths of a cent. Nothing much. But the Japanese 100 yen coin, 64 cents, up another penny, up again. Yeah. So it's now out of the garbage can that it's been in, and it's now at a typical price for the last couple years. Overall, we got tech stocks and earning reports. They'll really decide how this week is, because the stock market really does not, amazingly, care a lot about presidential politics.
Well, we'll check in with you and see how things go this week on Monday next week. Meanwhile, I'll let you go so you can go nab those cashmere sneakers.
Yes, yes.
James
thank
V. Huntington.
You, thank you, listeners.
James V. Huntington, thank you so much. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will check in on the first ever Paddle for Pride event coming up this weekend. This is Radio Chatskill.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, host of On Point. Each hour of On Point is a journey to help make complicated issues understandable. Every issue brings more questions, like how did we get here? Why is this happening? And what does it mean? And how do we fix it? So let's figure this out and make sense of the world together. Join me weekday mornings at 11 here on Radio Catskill.
The fight against disinformation is more complicated than ever. And in a record year for elections around the world, it's never been more important. I'm Miles Parks. I cover voting and election security for NPR. At NPR and this station, we report rigorously on the forces trying to disrupt democracy and provide your community with reliable information. This election year, stand with the facts. Donate to this station today.
Give now at wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno. The first Paddle for Pride event is this Saturday, bringing LGBTQIA+ individuals and allies together for a day of paddling, education, and community. Joining us with more details is Corinne Hinton, Community Volunteer Ambassador for the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River. Good morning.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for being here. Tell us about this Paddle for Pride event. You are putting this on with Triversity Pride Center.
Yeah, so Paddle for Pride is a family-friendly event organized by Triversity Pride Center on Saturday, July 27th, that aims to benefit and bring together the LGBTQIA+ community and allies outdoors for a day of environmental education and paddling rafts down the Upper Delaware River.
So the park rangers for the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River will be offering some educational opportunities. Can you talk a little bit about what those are?
Yeah, sure. So I'll kind of run through the day a little bit for you, give a little bit of itinerary. So the day is going to start out at 9 a.m. with all participants meeting at the Kidded City Canoes Matamoras Base. There, the participants will have the opportunity to learn from National Park Service rangers about river safety and proper paddling techniques, river ecology and animals along the Upper Delaware River, as well as LGBTQIA+ history within the National Park Service. Then around 11 a.m., Kittatinny Canoes will shuttle all participants to the Staircase River access, where everyone will be placed in rafts with a four-hour paddle down to the Matamoras River access.
So is this something that's sort of, I don't know how you put it, like they're chaperones for folks down the river, or are they kind of going off on their own?
Yeah, so it's definitely family friendly. So we're encouraging people to come with their friends or family. But even if you do come alone, there will be other people there that you'll be able to be placed in a raft with. So the idea is that everybody will be come together to make new connections within the LGBTQ plus I community.
And you're asking for registration?
Yeah, so to reserve your spot for Paddle for Pride, you're going to be calling Kittatinny Canoes at 845-682-3539 and saying that you're specifically registering for the Paddle for Pride event. So educational activities with the National Park Rangers from 9 to 11 are free, but registration for the paddle itself is $60 per person for anyone over the age of 10, and then $32 per person for anyone under the age of 10.
It's so important this time of year, and all times of year, really, but to talk about water safety. You mentioned proper paddling techniques. Do you want to just remind folks about water safety a little bit?
Yeah, so when you're doing any type of river recreation or any recreation near water, it's really important to be wearing your life jacket. Too often than not, we see drownings on the Upper Delaware River, so it is really important that you wear that life jacket because it will save your life.
Yeah, as simple as that. Corinne Hinton is the Community Volunteer Ambassador for the Upper Delaware Scenic and Recreational River, talking to us about the Paddle for Pride event that's coming up this Saturday. And again, where can folks get more information and registration?
Yeah, so you can get more information by going to triversitypridecenter.org. On their website there, they have all the details for registration.
All right. Corinne, I think you told me this is your first time on the radio. I think you did a pretty good job.
It is. Oh, well, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me, Tim.
We'll have you back. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll take a break. And when we come back, Roxbury Arts upcoming events from culture reporter Valerie Manzi. This is Radio Chatskill.
Radio Catskill supporters include SUNY Sullivan, a community college in the Sullivan Catskills focused on preparing students for the future. More information at sunysullivan.edu. Livingston Manor, dining, shopping, and the arts at the gateway to the Catskill Park. LivingstonManorNY.com. And listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Radio Catskill is partnering with StoryCorps for One Small Step, matching strangers with different political beliefs to just have a conversation. Go to WJFFradio.org and click on the One Small Step logo to join us.
This is Radio Chatskill. The Roxbury Arts Group offers arts programming at three venues in Delaware County and also administers the Delaware County Arts Grant Program that provides funding to nonprofit organizations and artists within Delaware County for special projects and programs. Culture reporter Valerie Manzi spoke to Jenny Rosenzweig, executive director of Roxbury Arts, about their ongoing and upcoming events.
Good morning, Jenny, and welcome to Radio Chatskill.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So you are the executive director of Roxbury Arts in Roxbury, New York. And
yes,
I would like to say my husband and I have had the pleasure of going to a number of events up there over the years, art exhibits, performances, a number of very satisfying experiences.
That's exciting to hear.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And I also found it interesting that you are also an arts alliance, a group where you are able to award grants similar to our Delaware Valley Arts Alliance.
Yes. We are actually, we consider them great colleagues. But we're both a presenting organization in which we are offering workshops, exhibits, and performances, but also a service organization to our creative community, because we understand the value that the arts brings to all communities. And so We want to make sure that every artist, every other arts organization, and other organizations that are delivering arts program, even though they may not be quote unquote an arts organization, has the capacity and continues to grow that capacity to bring quality arts programming to every corner of our region.
Yes, and I see you have three different locations.
We do. We have three different venues here in Delaware County. And so the Roxbury Arts Center is located in Roxbury and has been kind of our longest held venue. It has a exhibition space, a gallery, a performance space, pretty traditional with theatrical lighting and sound and staging. And it's in a former YMCA building. It was built in 1911 and has been retrofitted to be a performance space. So there's a lot of community history in that space, and I love that people kind of continue to gather there, keeping in the tradition of what the space was originally intended for. One of our second spaces is the Headwaters Arts Center, which is our newest space, which is on Main Street in Stamford. It's a great, completely flexible space. It's kind of an open space. And we do all of our creative learnings programming there, so our workshops and things along those lines, because the space really lends itself to that. But we've also really expanded our programming there. So we have done these really great intimate concerts. We've done films. We're doing really fantastic exhibits there. So it's really just blossomed over the last 2 years. The other space that we have is called the Old School Baptist Church. It is a beautiful venue of, you know, former church from 1859. It's in the Denver Vega Valley, which is just a few minutes away from our other venue in Roxbury. The building has no plumbing. It has no heating. Mm-hmm. But what it does have is a most amazing acoustics. Amazing. So we do a short summer series there that is just beautiful. It sits in this amazing valley. The music is incredible. We get, a port-a-john brought in to make sure that that's covered. And, people just come out for that incredible experience. So I'm really excited for all of the programming that we get to deliver into these spaces.
Well, it sounds impressive, and it's a beautiful part of Delaware County to experience for those who might not have gotten up that way from our Sullivan County area. Also, the Headwaters Arts, that's near the Book Village, right?
The Hobart Book Village, just down the road.
Right.
And it, a lovely community. And the Book Village is fantastic. They actually hold an annual festival of women's writers just happened earlier this year. But if anybody is interested in that, we highly recommend that they get that on their calendar for next year.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on now at Roxbury Arts and during the month of August. And let's give your website.
Sure. The website is roxburyartsgroup.org. And Roxbury is R-O-X-B-U-R-Y.
Okay.
And the arts is plural. And that's it. And you can see on there the events, whether they be exhibits, performances, other kinds of gatherings at all of our venues and locations, or other locations that we deliver programs at. They could be off-site sometimes, all at that one website.
Yeah, I see puppets, I see music, I see a create, creative work, Ukrainian village voices. I mean, you have quite a fabulous array. And also, you have programming for both adults and children.
Yes. Our community is, you know, made up of all different kinds of people. So we want to make sure that we're including everybody in the programming that we curate for the season. So, and everything is really fabulous and interesting and fun. We wouldn't plan it if we didn't love it ourselves. So we really do invite people out to either come out because you already love it and you're interested in it, or come out and just, you know, try something new. Be exploratory.
Yes, yes. And I wanted to ask you before we go about the exhibit I believe you have on now, Feathers mm-hmm. in a Notebook.
Sure. So Feathers in a Notebook is an exhibit that is celebrating impact creativity had on the life of Ian O'Brien, and in turn, the impact that Ian's creativity had on others. So Ian O'Brien grew up in Roxbury. He went to school in Roxbury and graduated from our local school. His father was the superintendent of the school. Ian's sister was also a intern at the Roxbury Arts Center. And Ian was really engaged with the outdoors. Even from a young age, he was on the mountain skiing all the time. He was outside hiking all the time. And so once he kind of moved into adulthood, lifestyle kind of became giving up as much personal property and living outdoors, just kind of hiking and living out. And he documented and really kind of communicated through the arts. Again, even from a child, he excelled at the arts. The way that he communicated through it was so extraordinary. Last year, when he was on one of his trips hiking in Colorado, Ian went missing. And it brought together people from all over the world that Ian had an impact on. Wow. Hundreds and hundreds of people that went to this, you know, town in Colorado to look for him. Ian suffered from epilepsy, and unfortunately, Ian's body was found after this search had ended by somebody that was just on a hike. So this devastated our community. It was devastated this family. It devastated our community. And there was not a real way to mourn together. So the Roxbury Arts Group, who knew about Ian's creativity, had reached out to see if we might be able to install an exhibit of Ian's work to be part of this. And we were so happy that the family was open to that idea. And his mother and sisters and father had pulled together Ian's artwork from when he was in kindergarten through his adulthood, even the mountain where he had lost his life. So we have this really amazing retrospective. And so that exhibit is up at the Roxbury Art Center through July 27th. And it's really wonderful to experience. Because even if you didn't know Ian, because it's really about family and community, and it's just heartwarming to go and see.
I certainly went through a range of emotions while listening to this story. And so, Jenny, is there anything you would like to add?
So there are other amazing programs that are taking place at our organization. Loco 7, which is a dance puppet theater company that really kind of operates from La Mama in New York City, is doing a residency program with us in Roxbury. So they're working on creating a new piece of work with us. And as part of this experience, they're actually doing an open house at the Roxbury Art Center that is free and open to the public. And that takes place on Saturday, July 27th from 2 to 4 p.m.
Wonderful.
And so, yeah, and so people can come and explore what they're doing. They'll have workshops so people can make their own kinds of puppets, things along that. So we invite you to come and experience. The Bergamot Quartet is performing at that charming old school Baptist church on August 2nd. On August 10th, we have Quartets, which is a phenomenal performance on at the Roxbury Art Center, and Camp Create, which is a such fun summer camp, starts at the Headwaters Art Center on Monday, August 12th.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for taking the time, and thank you for all you do on behalf of the arts and your community.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. I look forward to speaking with you again.
Yes.
Thanks to culture reporter Valerie Manzi. That was her conversation with Jenny Rosenzweig, Executive Director of Roxbury Arts in Delaware County. A quick correction. During the Work Shift Live segment, we mispronounced the name of the Democratic National Committee Chair. That's Jamie Harrison. That's all for this edition of Radio Chatskill. Before we go, a reminder that we are partnering with StoryCorps for One Small Step, an effort to remind the country of the humanity in all of us, even those with whom we disagree. It's an initiative that brings strangers with different political beliefs together for a conversation, not to debate politics, but to get to know each other as people. It's probably a good time to do that as any. Go to WJFFradio.org to find out more. We invite you to take part in One Small Step, an effort to bring communities together one conversation at a time. Again, you can go to WJFFradio.org, click on the red One Small Step button there, and you'll find out more and you can apply to join it. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you who donate at WJFFradio.org.
Radio Catskill is partnering with StoryCorps for One Small Step, matching strangers with different political beliefs to just have a conversation about their lives. Hi, I'm Judy Balaban, and I'm working on One Small Step at Radio Catskill. Help bring our community together, one conversation at a time. Go to WJFFradio.org and click on the One Small Step logo to join us.
StoryCorps' One Small Step and the radio station hubs are made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
I'm Tanya Mosley.
And I'm Juana Summers. We've got your back when it comes to reporting the news. And one of the things this station counts on to keep it all going, contributions.
Including that vehicle you no longer need. Donate it. Help us bring you the news you count on. Learn more by visiting this station's website. And thanks.
Donate your car, boat, or motorcycle at WJFFradio.org.
Hey, Latif Nasser here, co-host of Radiolab, a show that explores the outer edges of what we think we know. Wednesday at 1 on Radio Catskill.
You're listening to Radio Catskill, local news, culture, and NPR. Turning cloudy this afternoon with a couple of showers and thunderstorms possible, high near 80. Mostly cloudy and humid with some showers tonight, too. Some of those could bring some localized flooding in poor drainage areas, a low of 64. Looking ahead, thunderstorms in the area tomorrow afternoon through Thursday afternoon are possible, with highs around 80 tomorrow and in the upper 70s for Wednesday through Friday. It looks to be a nice weekend so far, according to the National Weather Service forecast. Sunshine and highs in the low 80s for the weekend, but let's get through the thunderstorms first.
WJFF Jeffersonville, Radio Catskill. On your radio at 90.5 FM or streaming online at wjffradio.org.
Truth, independence, fairness, transparency, respect, excellence. NPR. Donate. Thanks.
Give now at wjffradio.org.